We welcome to the show to kick things off this afternoon from the Verse and Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium, our friend Sean Latch. Sean, welcome.
Great to be back.
It's the end of January. It's spring, right? Am I wrong in this?
I don't know about that. So the good news is we have a cross-quarter day coming up, Groundhog's Day. So we'll find out what's going to happen with that whole thing. You know, are we going to get spring soon or late? We'll have to see what, you know, what the groundhog says.
I don't put a lot of stock in that guy, but
yeah, me either. I don't think it all works all that well, but you know, hey, it is. You know, we're coming up on the cross quarter day. Spring will officially begin, whether we want it to or not, right, around the 21st of March this year. So we do have a little ways for that, but we'll see how we do between now and then.
Well, we're getting ever closer to the April eclipse. I want to talk about the continued planning and events that are coming up surrounding that. But let's talk about the month of February. We slide on into it tomorrow, and brand new shows, as always, at the Verse and Power Astronomy Center, starting Friday night, Aurora, Tales of the Northern Lights.
Yeah, so of course, the Aurora Borealis are one of those topics that people really love in astronomy, and, you know, I often get calls, when can we see them, how can we see them, things like that. So this program really is a great way of sharing how auroras take place. Eclipse, you can tell eclipse on the brain. But how auroras take place, why they take place, possible, you know, ways to get some heads up about them and things of that nature. And also a variety of cultural tales around them. So a variety of cultures looked at aurora in different ways, had different stories and legends in terms of how they related to them, and so this program shares some of that too in a really fun and dramatic way.
Excellent. And a brand new music show for the month, a little Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac, of course, in the Dome. So this is a fun show for any, you know, one who enjoys their music, everything from, of course, Silver Spring to Rihanna to just a whole variety of their hits will be in the Dome and set to a variety of stunning visuals. Music shows have been really, really popular, and of course, the classic rock ones seem to really do well. That being said, I will give a hint that we're going to be doing one of the more modern acts coming up here in April. Keep your eyes peeled for that. We'll give you some hints later about that.
Excellent.
But she's been spotted at some of your sporting events lately.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, I wonder who that is. Yeah.
Probably not Joan Baez.
Does she drive some people in this country crazy?
She does.
Oh, I think I'm getting closer to it. Yeah, good. Makes me like her even more. Absolutely.
Exactly.
New family show as well. The return of Vladimir the Polar Bear and James the Penguin.
Yeah, Lucia, Secret of Shooting Stars. He joined Vladimir and James again, and they end up sort of studying a little bit of about auroras, which knock out part of their spaceship, and then they find out about meteorites, and they join Lucia, a little hummingbird who teaches them all about meteorites. So it's a really fun program for the whole family, and again, ties into aurora, but also a little bit to meteors, which are another fun space phenomena that people are always excited to see.
Some exciting eclipse programming as well. Can you talk a little bit about your collaboration with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra?
Yeah, so March 1st, we're going to be doing a sort of a special lunch and learn. Lucas Richmond will be in talking about Mahler's Fifth Symphony from Darkness to Light. And so we're really excited to do that. We're going to have that in the Dome on the 1st. And so tickets are available. Get them now because, of course, we do have limited seating for that very special event. And then, of course, we're doing a whole variety of eclipse programming. In fact, starting this upcoming weekend, we're doing some events. We have an event on Saturday at the Orono Public Library. And then for families, and we'll be talking about the eclipse that's going to be happening around 1 o'clock. We'll be doing some special hands-on activities with families and things like that. Then on the Tuesday next week, we'll be doing another program back there geared for adults. And then one on the 15th geared for sort of an after-school event for children. So lots of different events with the Orono Public Library for the eclipse coming up.
Very nice. And Mesmerica is still going, right, for a couple more weeks?
Yeah, Mesmerica is going to go through the 14th of the month. And then we're going to be on a little bit of a hiatus because we're really ramping up eclipse programming in a variety of ways. We also have the K-12 school break coming up with a whole variety of special programs. February, of course, 19th through 23rd, so we'll be doing Polaris, The Mystery of the Polar Night, so you can catch James and Vladimir in their first feature, you might say, on that Monday. Tuesday, Totality, Explore the Wonder of Eclipses. Wednesday, Secret of the Cardboard Rocket. Thursday, 3-2-1 Liftoff. And then the 23rd, we'll debut a brand new program about eclipses, which we'll be showing all during the month of March called Total Eclipse, The Chasers of Lost Sleep. This is a special program we brought in from the Quebec Planetarium, and it involves a chicken who's trying, who's an insomniac, and she hears about how animals go to sleep during eclipses, so she has to figure out how eclipses work, why they work, and how to get to an eclipse so she can actually go to sleep.
Wow, that's cool.
But it's a great, fun program for kids and gets them into eclipses. A lot of fun theatrics in it. Involves a robot. Lots of fun things. So we're really excited about that. And we've got some special eclipse weekends, too. The 30th of March and the 7th of April, those two Saturdays prior to the eclipse, are going to be doing a whole variety of special programming all day long at the planetarium. So if you check out our website now, you can see all about our eclipse programming, how to see the eclipse, you know, when, where to see it, things like that. And of course, we're gearing up for our big event in Jackman on April 8th as well.
I heard on Maine Public Radio the other day that, that when George Lucas was creating Star Wars, he was listening constantly to Holtz's The Planets, the great piece of, that he wrote about all the planets, and we have those planets up in Aroostook County all laid out.
Yep.
And he said to the, John Williams, I want you to listen to this when you compose the music for Star Wars, because this is what I want to hear. I want you to summon that up. I thought that was really a pretty cool thing for him to to move those two things in together. That was, that's why I like listening to radio. You learn stuff.
Yeah, man. Well, some places. Let's not get carried away.
No, that's actually new to me. And I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan, so I had, I did not know that that was the case. But that is really cool.
Well, April 8th is the big day, and we've talked about it with you before. Explain what it means when we say to see totality, you must be on the center line.
At least within the path of totality. So basically, the moon, when it passes between us and the sun, when there's this perfect alignment, it will cast a shadow on Earth. But there's that inner shadow, which is the umbral shadow, and then the outer one, which is the penumbral. The penumbral shadow is relatively wide, which is why on either side of that of the umbral shadow, you will see a partial solar eclipse. But you have to be inside the umbral paddle, that deepest portion of the shadow, to see it totality. And when you see totality, the difference, again, is really dramatic, because that's when you will see the atmosphere, the corona of the sun, which is very thin and very ethereal, but exceptionally hot and glows. So this is one of those things that it's sort of the start of the solar wind. It's part of the area that actually helps give us auroras. So it sort of ties into our program this month as well in that way. But it is a really beautiful thing to see. And it can only be seen in, you know, inside that path. So here in Maine, to give you an idea, the path, the umbral path will be, during this eclipse, is going to be about 127 miles wide. Now, the closer you are to center, the longer the time you will get. So, for instance, Jackman, Maine, which is where we're going to be for the eclipse, as part of a NASA project, is right on that center line. And as a result, we're going to get about 3 minutes and 28 seconds of totality there.
Nice.
If you're in Lincoln, Maine, you will get totality, but you're only going to get maybe 35, 40 seconds, because you're just barely in that path. All right. Millinocket and Holton are going to do well as well. They won't, they're not on the center line, but they're close enough where they'll get about 3 minutes or so. So again, the closer you are to that center line, the more time you have in totality.
And we're talking about what, afternoon, right? Around 4 o'clock,
so,
is it?
Yeah. So the totality itself, the deepest portion, is going to be right around 3:30 in the afternoon. So typically the partial phases of the eclipse will start roughly an hour or so before. So around 2:20 or so is when you're going to start to have those partial phases. You need solar eclipse glasses to view that to make sure that you don't damage your eyes. And then totality itself, again, about 3.5 minutes. Now, the thing about that also is it varies. The timing in Jackman will be different than the timing in Holton or Millinocket,
right,
or Lincoln, because the moon is moving, and that's going to change those timings. So Jackman will actually have the, you know, totality a little bit before Holton will, or before Millinocket, and so on and so forth. Because the shadow path basically is coming out from the Pacific Ocean, then over Mexico into Texas, and then, you know, finishes out out past Nova Scotia, out in the middle of the Atlantic. So the path is several thousand miles wide, but again, it's only, depending on where you are, down in Texas, it's a little bit wider, and you're actually going to get, if you're down in Texas, you'll get a little bit more. You'll get about 4 minutes and 20 seconds of totality,
wow,
almost a minute longer down there than you will get here. And again, that's because of the orbit of the moon is elliptical, and it just so happens during this particular eclipse, it'll be a little bit closer when it's in Texas. You know, everything looks bigger in Texas. So I've been told, so that, you know, in this case, it will be true for that, at least for this solar eclipse, they'll get about a bit more of totality.
Well, great information is available on the Versant Power Astronomy Center website here. You've got a link to Maine-specific information, mm-hmm. a link to the NASA page, the AAS Eclipse page as well. And, of course, if you're going to look directly at the sun, you want those glasses, yep. and you offer them in the gift shop as well.
Yeah, we've got eclipse glasses and that are available. We also have some books about the eclipse there and some T-shirts. And so we do have a variety of eclipse merchandise for those folks who are umberfields, as they call are they're called, who always want to seek that dark side of the moon, hint, hint, on our next month's music program, which also ties into eclipse programming. But, you know. Hey, have to have some fun with this too, right?
Absolutely. Well, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. Very exciting. Was it July 1963, right?
Yeah. So July 63, we had was the last time we had totality here in Maine. In the case of that eclipse, it actually did pass through Acadia and through Ellsworth and Bangor, things like that. But this one does not. This one's sort of more on the sort of, you know, sparsely populated area of the state, you know, comparatively. In 2079, we'll have our next totality here in Maine, and that one actually will come through sort of Portland and right up the coastline. So that one will be a little more, but I won't be around.
Yeah, if I'm around for that, you'll be reading about me in the papers.
Yeah.
Setting some kind of record.
I'm thinking, you know, the heads in the jar, like Futurama, right. You know, that kind of thing. Maybe might be a way, but that's the only way I could see myself being here in 79.
You and me both. So we'll appreciate and enjoy this one. Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium, thanks as always.
Thank you so much for having me.
We will see you next month.
Sounds good.
As we get closer.